B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Mads. We went back and looked at the 2016 NBA draft and just reassessed the Jaylen Brown pick with Buddy Hield going off last night, who went three or four picks after Jaylen Brown.
He took 21 threes.
Made 11.
Yeah, he took 21 3-pointers in a. He did. He went 11 for 21.
He should.
If he shoots like that, he should.
Well, I mean, isn't he that kind of shooter?
That's 50, over 50%.
I know, he's not 50%
out
there.
No, but he's a 40% 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
The problem is Marcus Smart also tried to take 21 threes.
No, so we looked at it, and I think the Jaylen Brown draft pick holds up. It does. I mean, you could say Jamal Murray over him, maybe. No one says Buddy Hield over him. You could say Ben Simmons over him, but he went number one, and I wouldn't even do that. Pascal Siakam you take over him, but he was drafted 27th or whatever, so the whole league passed on him. The second guess there is, did you have to take the French Panda and Zizic instead of Pascal Siakam? There's a second guess there. It's not a Jaylen Brown second guess. But what if you second guess the 2018 NFL draft? 19? 2018. The 2018 NFL draft, where you're sitting at 23 and 31, and you end up with a guard who can't stay healthy and a running back in Sonny Michel, who, I'm sorry,
he's just a guy.
Is just a guy. Dime a dozen. You could draft him in the first round, or you could pick him from the AAF or the CFL or wherever. He's just nothing special. He's fine. But that's what you came out with, a guard who can't stay healthy and just another running back, when what some people think the future of the NFL is sitting right there at 31 in Lamar Jackson. You passed on him. Is that going to be second-guessed down the road? Robert writes in. I'll start with another email, Bob. Bob writes in and says, the decision not to draft Lamar will be the biggest mistake Belichick has ever made, and the Patriots will lose McDaniels because of it. But thank God we have Sony, he says sarcastically. He says McDaniels wanted to draft Lamar. That's what our intelligence is as well.
Yeah, again, I think McDaniels visited with him twice, right? Once was down
Casario
in Florida.
Did too.
Yeah, they were on him. There's no question about it. And you know, just for the sake of, you know, going over it again, Brady also liked that Instagram post that Lamar Jackson put up there. Remember that?
Yeah, sure.
There were all types of Patriots links to Lamar Jackson at that time.
And the Ravens got him in the sweet spot, which is the last pick of the first round, which means you get a fifth-year rookie option year on him, so you have great cost control that you don't have on other players. And if he flamed out and didn't work out, well, you've lost a first rounder, but it's the 31st pick. It's not the first pick. So that's really, I think, the sweet spot. If the Patriots had drafted Garoppolo in that spot versus 62, maybe they can string that along a little bit. So anyway, McDaniels wanted to draft Lamar Jackson there because he recognized the talent and knew he could develop him into a passer. Can't you see what Baltimore is doing? They ease him in with an offense that he's familiar with a team that fits his skill set, strong defense, good offensive line, solid running game, .. Doesn't that sound like the Patriots last year? It looks like you can develop him into a passer. And Pats fans will say, wow, Felger, Lamar doesn't have the answers to the test like Brady does. But would someone with all the answers let their performance go down significantly each week this season like Brady has? And don't give me the Brady doesn't have weapons excuse. Two of his players he's had for over 5 years, Edelman and White, a tight end he's worked with before in Watson, and the highest drafted wide receiver in the draft this past year. McDaniels knew it. Brady is done. And he knew exactly who his successor was going to be. All he needed was time to develop him. And it turns out the guy he wanted developed in a year and a half, or the guy that he wanted would be developed in a year and a half. Lamar will haunt Belichick's defense until Bill retires. Never mind haunting his dreams, says Rob in Brighton. Your thoughts on Lamar Jackson and if they blew it at the end of that draft?
Okay, so I know this. I'd rather have Lamar Jackson than Sonny Michel. Okay? So absolutely, I would rather have Lamar Jackson. And especially knowing what we know now. Like, I don't even think that one's all that much of a stretch. There's a lot of guys I'd rather have than Sonny Michel, and maybe that's a comment on Michel more than Jackson. My one question is, and I don't know if this is an indictment on Bill or if it's an indictment on Jackson, would he be able to do what he's doing in Baltimore here? And I, this is one of those things where typically we say, well, Bill will get something out of this guy that no one else can get. In this case, I think it's the opposite. I don't know that Bill would let this guy play this way.
Why?
It's not structured enough, and it's too dependent on one player. You have to build your whole offense, your whole operation around this guy.
Should you?
For his talent, yes. But
can I give you another one? For most teams, yes.
Yeah, but not here.
Because most places you need that guy. If they didn't have Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, what are they? Just another, you know, rough and tumble AFC North 9-7 team. Belichick could put in freaking, I almost forgot his name, Jared Stidham. And I'm sorry.
11-5.
I mean, it might be a bad analogy.
Maybe more.
13-3.
Yeah, maybe more.
I mean, right now they're what, 10-1?
Yeah.
What would they be without him? What would they be with Jared Stidham? 9-2?
Yeah, maybe they might have lost a game or two in there. You never know what. I mean, he got in the Jets game and almost torched that one.
I'm just telling you, they'd be.
I don't know if they win in Philly. I certainly don't think they win in Buffalo.
Oh, they put 17 points in. You don't think Jared Stidham could get you 17 points in Philly?
Yeah, but he might turn it over.
All I'm saying is, this is what I'm talking about. You know, 30 of the 32 teams need a talent like that.
Yeah, so again.
Does Bill?
But this is the thing, is if you have a talent like that, shouldn't you bend for him? Isn't coaching sort of coaching to your talent? Isn't that what the whole job is?
The system's just so completely different. It might be a bad comp. Them cut and bait as quickly as they did with Tim Tebow when people were still clamoring to see him out there 7-8 years ago, I think it's just proof that he wants more of a your typical pocket passer for this kind of offense. So,
well, he hasn't brought in anything, you know, anything close to resembling a running quarterback. I mean, Brissett is, he wants to stay back there and chuck it. He doesn't want to run. He can, but he's not a running quarterback.
I mean, let's say they had drafted him. Would they be getting this out of Lamar Jackson?
No.
No way.
I don't think so.
No, no way. No way.
Would they be running the pistol?
So, no, but this is what I'm saying. So, I don't know if this is an indictment on Bill or an indictment on Jackson. It's probably a little of both. But on the one hand, I look at this kid and I give Harbaugh a lot of credit. I say, Harbaugh is really willing to roll the dice here and build it around the kid and say, listen, if we're going to go with this, we got to commit to it. We got to make, you know, we got to go get tight ends. We got to run the ball and we got to let this kid run wild because he's that unique. So we got to let him just completely take the game over and we got to live with the sort of, you know, uncertainty or the chaos that comes with it. And when I say the chaos, I mean the read option and he makes the decisions on the fly and the offense is his athleticism. That's the offense. So we got to live with that. And I give him credit for doing it.
So all I'm
so many coaches in that league are such control freaks, they would never let this kid run around like that.
Except I don't mind Bill being the control freak.
Well, so again, that, you know.
So maybe Bill's the one guy, but.
Well, so this is why I say maybe it's an indictment on Jackson because he's got to play this way. And if he can stay healthy and pull it off, then Bill will be wrong.
Jackson has to become legitimately the next big thing. I'm talking 2-3 Super Bowls. He's got to get
like this, real sustainability.
10 years, you know, it doesn't have to be 15 or 20, but you know, give me around a decade. Give me multiple Super Bowls doing it this way, and then I'll turn around and say the Pats weren't bold enough at the end of that first round, and they should have gone Lamar Jackson.
My second guess is with that draft, I have more to do with wide receivers, Darius Leonard, the linebacker who went early in the second round. Like, I don't know. If this kid even does that, like, he'd still be on the bench. There just wasn't room for him here. I'm not going to second-guess the Lamar Jackson thing here.
Yeah, look, again, he went 32nd.
If he becomes, like, so I need to see him not just one. I mean, first I need to see one of these guys win one. These guys meaning these run-first quarterbacks who play in the pistol in this style. Okay, so no one's ever won playing this way. So I need to see someone go all the way and win one. And then I need to see it sustained for multiple years with more than one championship. If that happens, if Lamar Jackson really becomes the next established big thing that's sustainable, you'll be allowed to go back and say the Pats didn't see it. They didn't have the vision.
Yeah, and the only thing you'll be able to say in their defense is that nobody did except for Baltimore.
Fine.
Because he went 32nd. I mean, everybody had a crack at him. I'm not saying you take him number one overall, but hell, but at that point, once he starts to slip to the late first, you can trade up and get him if you want.
32 is the sweet spot.
I mean, so there were
When the Pats were on the clock there, too, I said, oh, this is it.
I mean, I thought they were going to take him.
I thought they were going to take him there. I remember sitting there watching that draft saying, this is the perfect spot for the QB. You get the fifth year. This is it. This is where you take him, right here.
I mean, I'd kill to be a fly on the wall in those discussions and meetings and everything else if McDaniels isn't sort of kicking Bill in the shins right now going, see, I told you, see.
And then the Pats took Michelle, and then immediately Baltimore traded up to 32 because yeah.
because Philly was there. So
I think Baltimore was waiting to see. I think Baltimore thought New England might have taken him. As soon as he's there, boom, trade up, get him.
Yeah, and look, so he is, I mean, he is to watch right now, like breathtaking. The guy's, he's the best show in football right now. I don't know if it'll stay this way or not. But I watching that thing last night, I said, Belichick would never let this guy do this here. Not in a million years.
And again, are you saying that critically?
Both. Both. So in some ways, I'm saying it's lucky that for the kid that he ended up somewhere else in some ways. Maybe not. Because right now, he's a megastar. I mean, he's being able to, he's being allowed to play the way that really suits his talents. Bill would have beaten some of this out of him. And would have made him a much more of a system quarterback and a decision maker. And maybe the kid's not suited for that. So, Bill probably is going to end up right in this because he always ends up right. Or at least it feels that way. But watching the kid throw the ball last night on some of those read options, he was pretty accurate. And I know it's not a throw-first offense, but he's better than a lot of the other guys that have tried to do this. Vic didn't complete 60% of his passes. This kid's at 67. And it's a different league now. Like, if it's ever going to work, he feels like as good a candidate as anybody.
It's awesome, but I still need to see more.
Sure.
I don't know.
I mean, listen, Murray, but I'm just
telling
you.
And people are already saying, like, he's better than Vic. Vic went into Lambeau when you could not win there and put on a show and won that playoff game back, 17 years ago, whatever the hell it was.
I'm just telling you. God help us. Good Lord willing. In 10 years, Felger and Maz are on the air. We're all still sitting here, okay, 20 years into it. We're sitting here in 10 years, and if Lamar Jackson has 3 Super Bowls and is still contending for league MVPs in 10 years, in the year 2029, we're going to look back and say, and rightly, and be right, and right in doing it, because it's all hindsight. I think that's fair. You look back, you say, they had the next big thing sitting on the board. Their quarterback was 41. And instead of taking the next big thing in the league.
And the offensive coordinator wanted him.
And they scouted him heavily. The coordinator was there in the draft room saying, we want this guy. I want this guy. And you passed on him for a guard and just another running back. You don't think that that's going to be.
Oh, yeah, no. That'd be bad.
I'm already scheduling segments 10 years in the future. That will be a good one. I can't wait to do it.
Oh, no, I've already written half of it.
Your thoughts right after this. You're Boston. Listening to Felger and Maz, Boston.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're going to have to see him in the playoffs, and if not, you'll be seeing him in the playoffs. the Sports Hub.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Third and goal, and Lamar Jackson tonight is a perfect 6 of 6 on third down. 6 first down, 6 of 6. Can he turn the corner and get in? Yes! We got a Jackson 5. Lamar with 5 touchdown passes. Willie Snead. There is a rub, but it's legal. It is 1 yard beyond, but it's a legal rub. No contest. Breaks that plane. Touchdown.
All right, 5 touchdowns last night for Lamar Jackson. The talk of the NFL. To your calls on everything we've hit on so far. Good to mix of topics right now on the board. Frank in Brighton, though, on Lamar Jackson. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, fellas. I know you guys know better than this. He's Mike Vick Light. He's going to get hurt. He's not as good a runner as Vick, and he can barely throw.
What?
Did you hear them say he had trouble throwing spirals with NFL footballs last year?
Have you watched him this year?
I have.
Does it look like he's having trouble throwing spirals?
He's gotten better, but he's never going to be a good NFL passer. These guys all get hurt.
Was Vic a good NFL passer?
Hold on. So, I mean, you're talking about two different things, Frank. Can he not play, or is he going to get hurt? Both.
Both. He can run. He's going to get hurt.
Okay, and he can't play. He can't throw, and he's going to get hurt.
And I thought he couldn't run as well as Vic either.
Yeah, he's not Mike Vick light. He's Mike Vick heavy. He's better than Vic.
I was going to say, Vic is, I was just trying to look up his height and weight in his playing days.
Vic was shorter. He was stronger than this kid, I think, although this kid is
6 feet, 215. Boy, I didn't realize he was so short.
Yeah.
Vic, yeah, he was short.
Six feet, 215. What's Lamar Jackson?
I think he's like
6'2".
Yeah, he's 6'2". He looks taller.
6'2", 212.
Yeah. So Vic was, Vic was solid. Vic was built like a running back.
I feel this guy's built more like a running back. I don't know. I feel like he's thicker.
He's wiry, more wiry.
He is?
I think so. What do you think, Murray?
I would love to know what his wingspan is. His arms look enormous.
Yeah. I mean, I think he plays taller than 6'2", if that's his height.
So, look, if you're sitting here saying the guy can't play, you sound like an idiot. All right, so I'm sorry.
If you said that last year in the playoff game against the Chargers,
you were right.
Yeah. And I was wrong on it. Yeah. I was way down on Lamar Jackson coming into the year. I thought he was not close to being this kind of player. He's playing the way he's playing. You can't take that away from him. The two things that are fair to say, and not idiotic to say, what's fair to say is, can he stand up? Which is totally fair.
Absolutely.
Okay, long haul. I also think, can you take it all the way to a championship?
I don't know.
No one has led an offense like this going all the way to a Super Bowl championship. It hasn't happened. So those are the two things you got to see. And I think that's fair.
No question. Yeah.
To sit there and say that he can't throw a spiral, that's not what I'm watching. I'm watching spirals.
I mean, last January, he was rough. He was rough. He's improved a lot in less than a year. I mean, he is dangerous, man. He's a dangerous player.
Chris in Hartford, give me a Celtics thought.
Yeah, just real quick about Lamar. Take a look at his neck. Tell me if that guy can hold up. That's unbelievable.
Right, he feels
a neck like that.
Thank you. Yes.
Now, Marcus Smart, it's always going to be time and place for the kid. I love him. One big point about Tatum, he needs to learn how to rest in the post. He needs to learn that from Pierce. And number three, this is for Maz. Maz, what do I have to do to get Jaylen Brown to lift his arms up to play defense? I cannot watch this kid. I love him. We got to do something, Maz. What do we got to do?
Okay. Has he developed defensively like you thought he would?
No, not quite, no. And I'll tell you what, like for a kid with his athleticism, he should be able to contest and block shots more than he does. I know he's not he doesn't play in the paint per se, but he's athletic. And, you know, in a lot of ways, you could argue that him not getting his hands, you'd like to see him get his hands up in passing lanes and things like that. But you don't want him to jump at the first sign of a shot either, right? So he's a disciplined, you know, he uses his feet on defense, which ideally is how you want to do it.
Wayne and Grafton, go.
The Bruins should have made Bergeron get taken care of his medical problems in the off season, because he's going to deal with this all year long, and then he might be crap in the by the end of the year. And Tuker, obviously, I'm glad he's not playing tonight because of the Tuker trots. And Maz, Billy Lanny, you got to do me a favor. You got to show the pilgrim picture of Maz because it's Thanksgiving, and Don Cherry, you're still my hero. Peace out.
Okay, peace out, Wayne. That's coming tomorrow. It's coming tomorrow. The Tuca Trots, I like that. Haven't heard that one before. Speaking of which, Michael and Methuen, no Tuca Trots tonight. We get Halak. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I just wanted to point out that Halak was supposed to start Saturday against the Wild. He had an illness. Tuca had to step in. So I think Cassidy's plan was to have Rask play tonight and have Halak play tomorrow night.
Well, I'm glad he changed his plan.
Yeah, or that Halak got sick or whatever. I'd rather have Halak tonight than Rask.
But Rask should be able to play Saturday against Minnesota and then Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, the way Rask played the last time in Montreal, I'm glad he's not starting.
The weekend had nothing to do with it. It's tonight and tomorrow. You're going back to back. So, you're using two goalies the next two nights.
Wayne in Yarmouth on the Celtics. Yes, Wayne.
I agree with you on the points about Ainge being scrutinized a little more, and it's going to be up to you guys to do it. He's loved, I think, more because of his playing days here, and his time as the president hasn't been great. He's had two finals, one championship over, 16 years now? That's not exceptional. And I'll tell you what, if this doesn't change in the next couple of years, something should come about to replace this guy.
So I'm not going there because I think he's still exceptional. But the track record is a track record. It's the NBA, so we give him more leeway for sure. But one title in, is it 18 years?
I think that's right, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, any other GM we'd look at and go, why do you still have a job? But I don't do that with him because the NBA is a different animal. I totally get it. Let me tell you why Danny's overhyped. Because some of his trades have been so freaking good and have been so out of... Fans love winning a trade. They just, even though it's not their money or their draft assets, that's just something that hits so home and you have so much belief in a GM that will send, you know, and it was his buddy, but send Al Jefferson and get back Kevin Garnett and win a championship that it just, you want to take your pants off for it. Or sending Brooklyn some old guys that were not going to do anything and get back three lottery picks like that, you know. So the trades are such crushers. The Tatum and Markelle Fultz was such a grand slam home run, such a pantsing and an embarrassment on what he did there to, is it Elton Brand in Philly or is it the guy before? Whoever.
Go ahead.
Whoever he did that to in Philly. So he's won these trades and done it in such spectacular fashion that you look at him and you go, genius. And maybe that leads you to sort of overlook some other things. And he does. He deserves all the credit in the world for those trades. And if he's making another trade, I have full faith that he'll pants the other GM again. But again, you got to look at the overall track record, and you got to look. One of those lottery picks was sent for a guy who took a steaming dump on you and set you back. But for some reason, that's not held against him. If that Brooklyn trade doesn't result in a championship, that'll be a big miss. You know, this is another thing. Get back to us in 10 years. When we do our show in 2029, tell me what happened with Tatum and Brown and Smart and what happened to this whole run. And, tell me what you got out of it. If you end up with nothing out of this, that's a miss.
Yeah, because generally they've hit on the picks.
And they've hit on the picks, exactly.
Right? I mean, Smart at number six, Smart's a good NBA player.
You got to cash this in.
Yeah. I mean,
that Brooklyn trade was too good. You've drafted too well. You got to cash it in.
Yeah, it's no argument here on that.
And the cap space.
Yeah, you've hit on the picks. You've hit on them. So it's got to now go to the next level. I mean, again, you don't want to just be Indiana or Utah or Atlanta. You know, like those teams that could get in the playoffs every year and lose. And with all due respect, until now, Milwaukee, another one. Like they all make the playoffs and they all lose. And so in that league, it's pass, fail. You got to pass.
Murray's update, then one more segment of your wonderful phone calls. I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Go Georgia with picks at 23 and 31. Hang on. Mason says let's hit the podium. Pick number 31. Here's Goodell.
With the 31st pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Sony Michel.
Yeah! Yeah!
Georgia.
Wow. Okay.
So,
all right. All right, Cattles.
Wow.
I'll tell you what. I know who's going to hate this tomorrow. That would be afternoon drive. That would be Mike Felger, 2-6. You're dumb if you draft a running back. And I know, Nick, I know. He had fumbling issues at Georgia. He's been medically red flagged. Who had the report last night, Mike Lombardi, that he might be bone on bone? His knee might be bone on bone, and he may not make it through his second contract. Whatever. You know who Sony Michel is? Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara, rookie of the year on offense last year for New Orleans. He is that kind of player. So, you lose Deion Lewis? Oh, well, you just upgraded with Sony Michel. Pass game back. They do go back-to-back Georgia, Nick.
Yep.
They go Isaiah Wynn, not Lorenzo Carter. They go with a running back here. Admittedly, I wanted help on defense first, front seven, even corner. I definitely didn't want running back, quarterback rather, but I'm okay with running back. I am not anti-running back. And I think that Sony Michel is the second best back in this draft. Yes, better than Darius Geis, who's not been picked yet. And certainly better than Rashad Penny, who went where? To Seattle, number 27.
So I just did a little scrambling back there. I just wanted to go back and listen to what people were saying when the Pats were on the board at 31. That's our buddy Jones and Nick Cattles. Mocking me for not liking that pick. I don't know, year and a half later, I don't know if I'm looking that bad on that pick.
You were right, Mike. You're right.
Well, to this point, still turning around, but
at the time I liked it too, because that kid was dynamic and really explosive at Georgia, and he was great in that, in the playoffs. And then he gets here, and it's like they've sucked all that out of him.
So I was listening to, you know, we tried to pull up clips from ESPN and NFL Network while the draft was live at 31, because in my mind's eye, or maybe I was just saying it, because I remember, sure as I'm sitting here, sitting at my desk, in my office, in my underwear, in my home, with 31 on the clock, and I'm saying to myself, do they go quarterback here? They worked out this Lamar Jackson kid a couple different times. McDaniels is supposed to love him. Brady even gave him the thumbs up on the old Instagram. It's the 31st pick in the first round. That's the sweet spot. You get a fifth year. You get the contract in your favor because you get the fifth year rookie option if he works out. They should have drafted Garoppolo here. They'd still have him. Ooh, this is the spot for Lamar Jackson. And then they went Sony Michel. And I just, were others saying that? I mean, I don't think Lamar Jackson was really on people's radar at the time.
I mean, I thought that they were going to take a quarterback at the end of the first. We thought they were taking a quarterback in that draft.
You know, who the Felgomaz big board had? I can't remember that year. But that
was the year they traded Garoppolo, right?
So it just all gets confusing to me, Maz, which year was which and how it timed out.
It's the year after they traded Garoppolo.
Right, exactly. So but my only point is, don't tell me, Murray, that Felger and Maz in the year 2029, if God willing, we're on the air. We're not going to look back. If Lamar Jackson ends up with 2-3 Super Bowls and is still at the top of the league after an 8-9-year run, that we're not going to look back and play that and go, Sony freaking Michel.
This is why I tell you not to take running back. You're right, Mike. You're right. I can't believe that Bill blew it.
Couple exactly. of old guys sitting
yeah,
on the porch.
Exactly.
Statler and Waldorf. Yeah.
With blankets. These guys are stupid.
With blankets over their knees.
You don't believe these idiots? We'll say he could have extended the thing another 10 years.
You think they would have learned from the freaking Lawrence Maroney experiment running back in the first round? Stupid.
Thank you. Would you please? Okay, so anyway, back to your thoughts. Jake in Rhode Island. Hi, Jake.
Hi, guys. You take a look at the two losses the Ravens have this year. You see that they were out to an early deficit. You look at the Chargers game from last year. You see that they were down as well. I don't think that their offense is built to come back from leads. If the Patriots play them again, I hope the Patriots receive the toss instead of kick, because I think getting out to a 7-0 lead can really change up the way the Ravens play. What do you guys think about that?
Talked about this exact thing earlier. Lamar Jackson, for all that he's done and all he did last night, he threw 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
He completed 15 of them, you know, whatever, 80% of his passes, whatever that ends up, you know. So it's like he still did a lot with the 20 attempts, but it's still 20 attempts. What if he has to throw 40 times? What if you get those guys behind and make him throw?
So the only thing is, their running game is not your typical 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Well, but still, if you're up 14 points, you know what? Go ahead and dink around with your fake read option, ride the running back, run to the outside, veer option, play with your ball back there as much as you want and gain your 5 yards. You need 14 points and we're in the second half. So it's like, I think you take them right out of that.
Yeah, I see, but all I'm saying is their running game can get you 40 at a pop with the way that kid runs.
Not if everybody's back.
So now, will they stick to it? To me, the question is whether they would stick to it. Like, you know, because a lot of teams break down in that thing. I don't know. But I also, like, people do this all the time. Last year, they fell behind San Diego. What's that? He was a different player last year. I don't give a rat's ass what happened against San Diego. That has no bearing on this team. Now, you want to talk about earlier in the year? Fine, that I'll give you. I also think they're better now than they were then, and their defense has improved. So they gave up 40 to the Browns. 40 in Baltimore.
That's pre-Marcus Peters, though, and that defense has been completely
different. Well, right.
Different.
So, you know, and I feel like their offense is different. Like, whatever it is, this kid's getting better every week.
Here's a question I want to answer. Mike in the truck, I'm going to jump you. Ask your question, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to know what you guys think the proper ending to Tom Brady's career should be. Because this season is shaping up to be, they're going to have to probably get through the Ravens to get to the Super Bowl. And it's a real possibility that they could play the 49ers in the Super Bowl, in which Tom Brady would be, you know, playing against the kid that was brought in to replace him. And I don't see a better ending to his career than that.
For his sake, if I'm Tom Brady, how would I want my career to end?
Yes.
If I'm Tom Brady, you know how I want my career to end? And I'm so right about this, you can't even, it's going to make you want to throw up in your mouth, but I'm right about this. The best ending for Tom Brady, personally, selfishly, in a vacuum. is to have Bill Belichick push him out at the end of the year, for him to go to L.A. and lead the Chargers to a Super Bowl championship and prove that it's about him and not Bill, and I can do it anywhere. I could do it here. I could do it there. And at 43, I took over a whole new team, took them to a championship. My TB12 center is right down the street here in Inglewood. Suck it. Like, isn't that the...
You got no disagreement from me.
I mean, isn't that selfishly? Like, because if he's still here, you say, oh, it was Bill.
For just him, the brand, everything else, yeah, that's the perfect scenario.
Yeah, yes. for Tom, that is.
But there's huge...
He wins.
There's huge risk there. What if he goes out there and goes 9-7 and gets hurt? Like, then it, like that whole bubble bursts on him. So there's a massive downside.
I still wonder if he has the balls to walk.
See, I don't think he does.
Like, you know, that and just there is so much at stake there. And not just... You know, the legacy and all that crap. I just mean, you're going to have to learn a whole new operation at your age.
So all the stuff that's going on this year, his pouting and the really sort of borderline disgraceful courting of Antonio Brown and all this stuff, Palace Q and the nipping and the back and forth, it's all going to be forgotten. It is. We're not going to remember it. I mean, we'll bring it up for a segment to bust your balls and whatnot, but it's not going to be a part of his legacy. It's not. It's going to be about the championships and everything they accomplished. And all this other stuff sort of goes to the side. And it's not going to be brought up. It's not going to be. Maybe the Deflategate thing gets mentioned at some point. But all this little sniping, all this little stuff, it's not going to be part of his legacy. Don't you agree?
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah. No.
I mean, when it comes time to go to Canton, he and Bill are going to be sitting side by side in yellow jackets, hugging it out. Like, you know, yeah. And we'll look back fondly and say, remember at the end when they were butting heads? And when they
got water under the bridge,
we'll almost celebrate it. Like they got competitive with each other, where they were fighting over whose team it was and who was more important. And it'll become almost a positive that they got competitive with each other at the end.
Well, because it never affected really the performance of the operation. I mean, you know, that's the thing. I don't think you can ever say about them their ability to stay focused on the task and to just keep going. And, you know, not let the petty stuff get in the way is really a credit to them. Now,
would losing to Garoppolo in the Super Bowl hurt his legacy?
No. It would make me crazy.
I think that Brady's legacy is forged. I mean, he's got six.
I think it's pretty much over.
Yeah, he's got six. It's forged. It's, you know, that's not going to change. Now, if you want a great Patriots story to end his career, to me it would be, whether it's this year or any other, that you have the kind of year you're having this year. They look like a defense-first team, and they get to the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden they have trouble, and the quarterback bails them out.
Yeah, he leads them in the fourth quarter. Like, I mean, of course, like that's a story.
That would be a cool story.
Yes.
Like, that would be a good story.
We've got Bo and Saugus. What do you got, Bo?
I think it's a legitimate criticism to say you shouldn't have passed on Lamar Jackson. There are a bunch of teams that passed on him twice in addition to the Patriots. I mean, Sony Michel right now, he's got Marshall Waffle House at left tackle. He's got no tight end. He's got no fullback. And he's got a backup center playing. And look what he did in the playoffs last year. So, you know, you can criticize him for one, but not necessarily have to criticize both moves.
No, the Sony Michel thing isn't over. I mean, I philosophically wouldn't draft a player there.
But he's missing the point. A lot of guys could have done what Michel did last year.
Right, but there's still time for him to be a factor.
Yeah, but again, is he special? Is he first-round pick?
Not yet.
No.
Yeah, so it could change. I'll grant you that. I'm just saying that look what he did in the playoffs last year. That was the line. I mean, if we're going to sit here now and say it's not Michelle this year, that the problems aren't Michelle, which I largely believe, well, then it's about the line. It's not about the back.
Fair. Carl in Grafton on Lamar Jackson. Go ahead, please.
So how are you guys doing? Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I just can't comprehend. I don't know if it's just abject fear or something else for this fan base about, you know, saying Lamar Jackson is not the best show in the NFL right now. If he comes to Foxborough, how confident are you that he's going to win? I'll let you guys discuss. But anytime you guys want to talk about Lamar Jackson, like Mark Ingram said, come see me, dog.
Okay,
come.
So I think there's reluctance. This happened last year with Mahomes.
Right.
You know, people started hyping up. They didn't start hyping him up. They rightly gave you the commentary that this is the best young player in the league, and he's lighting the league on fire, and look at all these great things that he's doing, which brought the Patriots fans out of the woodwork. Well, he doesn't do this, and he doesn't do that, and who is he beating? And, you know, when Aaron Rodgers has had better years than Tom Brady, it's like, well, he doesn't have comeback wins, and look at him in the fourth quarter, and look at him on the road, and you pick him apart. And whoever's getting more publicity than Brady, the fans want to pick apart because they're protective of Brady. And so Lamar Jackson's just the latest in that. This has been sort of predictable, the anti-Lamar Jackson thing. Now, add on the fact that he's unconventional, and now you've got a real recipe for people to overlook him.
I mean, I just feel like right now the guy's fun. Okay.
Yeah, if you like the league, I don't know how you can not tune in last night and not enjoy that, because he's a blast to watch.
Screw fun.
I like something different. And
give me Alex Smith checking down and running the play.
Okay, but let's make something clear here. If this kid wins, are you all right with it?
Oh, winning, yes. Winning. So if he wins and he's a proven winner and he can do it multiple times, then I'll shut up and say I'm all in.
So this is my point. Like, I'd like to see. I'd like to see if someone can actually pull it off. It's a different league now. He feels like a different kind of player. And I'm not telling you he's totally different from Vic or RG3 or even Randall Cunningham. Hell, Dante Culpepper, if you want to throw him in there too. He had a couple of good years at the beginning too. But, his accuracy, at least statistically, and based on some of those balls he threw last night, that second touchdown he threw to Hollywood Brown last night, that thing was a freaking dart. It was a dart. So it feels to me like they've got it figured out on offense right now. Now, is he going to run the ball next week and get his head taken off by San Francisco? Maybe. I mean, I'd be worried about that for sure if I were in Baltimore.
Okay, folks, we'll pick this up tomorrow. All your wonderful calls here that are on the board, call us back tomorrow. We'll have an agenda-free Friday on a getaway day Wednesday, but that's coming up tomorrow. Coming up next is The Final Word.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's The Final Word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And The Final Word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right, so one piece of sound to get to. It's the recap of an increasingly ornery Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Making his usual weekly Tuesday appearance. So here's the recap of 10 questions with Bedard.
Fill in the blank. I think the Rams with Jared Goff and Sean McVay are...
like the 2017 Eagles and Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back, they are one-hit wonders.
Oh, I get it. I get jokes.
Take your pick to build your team around, Greg. Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson this week?
This week?
Well, I'm just saying we have Deshaun Watson this week on the schedule.
Yeah, but that's so subjective.
Sean Payton says he wants a 3-man panel to decide replay reviews. Are you thumbs up or down on this proposal, Greg?
Is he serious? I'm so, like, what? Come on.
Weekly tool bag question. Can you give me a tool bag Texan, please?
Brian Cushing. Popped a few times for PEDs. Had that oversized head. Always full of I hated Brian Cushing.
In order, please, the top 5 corners of the Bill Belichick era.
Ty Law, Darrell Revis, Stephon Gilmore, Asante Samuel, Malcolm Butler.
Revis over Gilmore, why?
I thought he was, like, you know, really good.
Is Frank Gore a Hall of Famer?
Nope.
No. Is that it? Okay, number 2, what would be the best conference title games?
Niners at Saints and Pats at Ravens.
Ravens-Patriots or Ravens-Chiefs?
Ravens-Chiefs. Yeah.
Last one. What's more sustainable? The Niners and what they're doing or the Ravens and what they're doing?
The Niners, because the Ravens, it's how Lamar Jackson goes.
What was the Niners' record with C.J. Beathard last year?
Circumstances are different.
How's it different?
Everything's different.
It is?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I'm not even going to dignify that. End it there.
End it there. That's pretty much how it went. Want to remind you, our Christmas in the City ramp up is beginning next week after we get back from the thing. We're on the air tomorrow. Felger and Maz are doing a fully loaded program tomorrow with all of our high school calls. We'll turn into an agenda-free Friday kind of show there, Maz, on a Wednesday. Go ahead, Billy. Let Maz talk. We're not good. We're not done yet.
Seriously.
What? The mic's working. Turn mine on, too.
Wednesday edition of Agenda Free Friday.
That's right. And we'll start the Christmas in the City stuff next week, okay? Starting Monday the 2nd, we'll have our online auction, all to benefit Christmas in the City. You can win Bruins tickets, Celtics tickets, Patriots tickets. will be there. You can enjoy a spring golf outing with Maz and Hardy. We do this every year. They're gracious enough to donate their time for a golf outing with those two. We have a Gordon Hayward signed ball. Ooh, Penelope must have come through with something there. Daron Harmon, he signed a ball for us. We'll be doing that on the online auction. And the coup de grace, the prize. You can win one sit-in segment with Felger and Maz, where you don't just, what?
The Daron Harmon ball, did it get deflected before
where you don't just sit in, you don't just sit in and watch. You get to sit on the desk and participate in the segment. You can be the DJ of the segment. You can come in and out of commercial breaks if you want. You can sit here and argue with us. You can play music. You can play your record. Do whatever. It's your segment. Okay, so this is a highly popular item. We're going to auction off four of those.
Your segment to a point.
We also will be at the Seaport next Thursday, the 5th. For their annual fundraiser. So come see us at the Seaport Hotel Thursday the 5th. We'll do a live broadcast there next Thursday. And our Newbury Comics appearance will be Saturday from 1 to 3 at Newbury Comics in Natick. So that's the deal with Christmas in the City. It all starts next week.
All for a great cause.
Jones, 10 seconds. Go.
Oh, I only get 10 seconds.
Go!
I had to hear this Sony Michel audio, and I thought you were a scoreboard guy over there.
I didn't do it to pick on you. I didn't do it to pick on you, so I'm not ready to start with this. But what? Go.
Your 10 seconds are up.
We're going to start with the Ravens and how they passed the Patriots with their MVP, bright and shiny quarterback.
So the Ravens have passed the Patriots by.
Yeah.
I love it. Love that take.
Yeah. By the way, I don't just think this. Vegas thinks this.
Okay. Well, then that means something. Here comes Jones. Good luck, Arcan.
Thank you.
Bend over, Boston. We're back at tomorrow at 2. We'll see you then.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.